The fight of God's people and us is the fight for Jerusalem, for the world. We don't fight for Rome. We don't fight for New York. We fight for Jerusalem.
Amen.
Woo. Now, when I first moved into my church in Port Talis, there was this cable TV, God's Learning Channel. And it was one of those homespun type of productions where a couple who were Pentecostals from Roswell, New Mexico, decided that they were going to start this God's Learning Channel, this sort of TV network. And they were just like typical Pentecostals, got filled with spirit and realized that we got to do something, right? Just don't go to church. We're going to start this God's Learning Channel. We're going to do a mission. And they were very typical Pentecostals. But they had this extra thing, which I'm going to preach about today, and that is love for the Jews.
Amen.
Now, this is not an easy subject for many of you. But I'm going to preach about the love for the Jews. This was an extra thing they had going for them. And this is something that has swept over the Pentecostal church. And we're the only ones that are getting out and saying what's true. We should love the Jews.
Amen.
They gave us Jesus.
Yes,
he was born in Israel. He wasn't born here. He wasn't born somewhere else. He was one of them. And everything we know comes from his culture, not our culture.
That's right.
Right? So they had this impressive love for God's people, the Jews. Now, I can understand if you came from New York City, where you know a lot of them, or Los Angeles, right? But they weren't. They were from Roswell, New Mexico. It's a town of about 30,000 people. There's probably 15 Jews in the town. But the Spirit revealed to them how important the Jews are. And we all need that revelation. We do. It's like something that will change your life. And the Holy Ghost revealed to them how important the Jews are in Israel and the economy of salvation. All right. Now, they had these guys up there, these Jewish Christians, Messianic Christians or Jews for Jesus, whatever you want to call them, Messianic Christians up there teaching that, you know, with their little pointers and making it all scientific. But it was interesting and it was good and they were full of the Spirit, right? And one of these guys, Sam Peake, I was so impressed with him. I invited him to my Old Testament class at the University in Port Talis, and he came and I invited him into my church and he preached a little bit. And he came to my class, and he was like these rabbis, and he said, you know, look at me. He was all full of the Spirit. He says, look at me. I'm short, I'm bald, I'm ugly, and I'm Jewish. And I got wire-rimmed glasses and cowboy boots. But God loves me anyway.
Amen.
He gives me great favor. I gave him more of a donation, more of a stipend, more of a check than anybody else I ever did in my life. Because he showed me more. He came into the Old Testament class and he said, I'm going to teach. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he said, well, I'm going to teach you about sacrifice or korban. In Hebrew, it's korban. And all korban means, when you sacrifice something, you bring it close to God. The temple's where God is. You bring your sacrifice close to the presence of God. And as you draw near to God, if you really have faith, what does he do? He draws near to you. That's sacrifice. I've been in seminary for 6.5 years and hundreds of teachers, and no one taught me what sacrifice was. You bring yourself, your whole life, close to God, and if you do it with the right heart, he will come close to you. Guaranteed.
Hallelujah.
So all these people, you know, talk about, well, sacrifice is a sacrifice, but you ain't going towards God.
Uh-oh.
If you aren't going towards God, you're not sacrificing. If you're going towards man, you're making a monkey out of yourself. So this was a profound revelation to me about sacrifice and about how much these people in this God's Learning Channel love Jesus, full of the Spirit, how much they love the Jews as well. Now, we've seen prejudice. Many of you have experienced prejudice. The Jews have experienced 2,000 years of prejudice. People call them Christ killers. Well, you know why they call them Christ killers? Because John 7:13, this is like a mistranslation. 7:13 of John says something like this. Yet no one spoke openly about Jesus for fear of the Jews. Now, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh, he's condemning the whole race. Well, he's not condemning the whole race. That should be saying he's for fear of the hypocritical Jews that killed him.
Right.
You see, this was just a small subset of all of Israel. They were, Judea is a part of Israel where Jesus was from. He's born in Bethlehem, right? But John, this gospel fisherman writing this gospel, he's laying the blame for a particular group of Jews. When he says Jews, he's saying the hypocrites, the high priests, who looked at him and said, you are not going to succeed here, and we're going to kill you. Not the rest of the Jews were singing Hosanna. Not everybody in the culture. Not everybody in Judea killed Jesus. Just a small band of them did. And so this prejudice, oh, the Jews are Christ killers, has been, they are talking smack.
Right? Come on now, put you.
They are talking smack. Now, I'm not saying that all Jews are good. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying I stand behind all Israel's politics, just like you wouldn't say I can't love America without loving American politics. No, you can love America without loving American politics.
That's right.
And you can love Americans without loving American politics.
Right.
It's about the people. It's about what they represent as God's people. About what they showed you. It's not about their politics. That's a trick from Satan right there.
Yes.
Trying to keep us in this ignorance. Keep us in this prejudice against God's people. And if we have that ignorance, we have that prejudice, we won't know as much as we should about Jesus.
Come on,
right. Whew. Now, this kind of anti-Semitism, you saw it in Germany up to 150 years ago. They wouldn't let Jews testify against a non-Jew in Germany. The Jews were always hated most by the Germans. So you couldn't testify in a German court if you were Jewish. And the ignorance was this. They thought, because the Jews have this wisdom that says you don't make a vow lightly, right? Don't make a vow lightly. Don't profane the name of God, because don't just say, I swear to do this and I swear to do that. And I'll give you some examples later, because you can't make a vow lightly. It has to be something that's important. So on Yom Kippur, once a year, the Jews would release their people. They had this wisdom of saying, you know, a lot of our people, they take these vows lightly and they're cursing themselves. And that's not what we want. So we're going to release them every year, once a year, at the high feast, the biggest feast, the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. On that evening before that, they release them from all these vows that they've made lightly. Well, the Germans took that as saying, well, you know, these people will lie in court. Therefore, they can't testify. So you just have further ignorance and further prejudice against God's people. It wasn't that they wouldn't tell the truth. It's that they know more than you, and they're not going to swear lightly. You know, the Bible just says, what did Jesus say? What was his said? Don't swear by heaven and don't swear by earth. But why do we see it on court every day. They get out the Bible. Why don't the Christians get out and say, Jesus told me to say yes when I mean yes and no when I mean no? Because that's what my Bible says. Yet we don't do that. So here's something that's just one example of how the wisdom of the Jews gets turned against the Jews, and it's mostly ignorance. Now, we should know that, because you've seen people in churches, I'm going to stop drinking, and if I don't, I won't go back to my wife. Well, did God tell you not to go back to your wife if you don't stop drinking? Take care of your wife. I mean, don't use not drinking to not go home. Or drinking to not go home.
That's right.
So I say, I don't stop drinking, I'm divorcing my wife. And then they use God's name swearing to that. That's ridiculous. Or people, I was up there in the Southwest, these Mexicans were great people. They loved their parents, they loved their families. Look, you're here illegally. You're taking care of your wife and your five kids. Don't make a vow to go home and see your mother's grave. That's ridiculous, see? So they come into you, they're all, their conscience is in an uproar because, oh, I promised God I was going to go home and pay another $1,500 bribe to get across the border. Well, you're crazy, man. Don't go home. Stay where you are. You invoke God's name, and then you bring upon your own condemnation because you're guilty, you feel bad, you feel condemned. So that's why Jesus said, don't swear by heaven and don't swear by earth. Just let your word be your word. See, that's just one example of how us Christians can learn wisdom from the Jews. And if we don't know their culture, we don't know some of this stuff, it's going to go right beyond us, right? Now, this ain't an easy sermon. But I can say with all sincerity that this has been a milestone of revelation for me, this love of the Jews. It's a milestone. How about your milestone when you first professed faith? That was a milestone, right? You remember it. It was a milestone when you were delivering the demons that were in you came out of you. That was a milestone. You remember that,
yep.
Right? It was a milestone when you got married and you say, oh, now I know what they mean, like love never fails. That was a milestone, right?
Amen.
Even though some of you are divorced, love never fails, okay? All right. Right?
Amen.
See, that was a milestone and you're learning how to love and be a Christian. When you had kids and you had to stay up all night with them. It was a milestone. Well, this is the same sort of revelation knowledge, the same sort of milestone in your faith that it can be for me. It's all over the body of Christ. The three top Pentecostal preachers, you could name them, they all love Israel. And probably 7 out of the 10 top Pentecostal preachers would express that, would say it just like I'm saying it today. They do, because they've made these leaps and great strides in faith because they love the Jews, and it's been in the last 20 or 30 years. Okay. All right. You want a bigger faith, don't you?
Amen.
You want a bigger faith? Okay.
Amen.
Why should we love the Jews? Well, first, we share their patrimony. They're the trunk, or they're the vine, and we're the branches. They're the trunk, we're the branches, right? They came before us, we came after. So us Christians, when we cop a know-it-all attitude, we're getting in trouble.
Amen.
You know, Romans 15, Paul tells the non-Jews of Rome that before he can go back to Rome and see them, he's got to go back to Jerusalem, because these non-Jewish Christians in southern Greece, these non-Jewish Christians had given a generous contribution to the Jews back in Jerusalem, the poor Jews in Jerusalem. And this is what he tells the Romans. He says, Romans 15:27, yes, they chose to, meaning these recent Christians, pagans in the past, yes, they chose to. Not that they did not owe it to the Jewish Christians back in Jerusalem. For if the Gentiles, the pagans, have been given a share in their spiritual possessions, then in return to give them help with material possessions is repaying a debt to them.
Woo!
Well, we owe them the debt of love. We owe them the debt of love for bringing Jesus to us.
Yes.
Right? They did not. They didn't. Yes, they chose to. Not they did not. Not that they did not owe it to them. For the Gentiles have been given a share in their spiritual possessions. We've been given a share in the Jews' spiritual possessions. Whew, man, we share their scriptures. They call them the Hebrew scriptures. We call it the Old Testament. We should say it's a Hebrew Testament. We shouldn't be called Old Testament, because some of those things are still going on.
Yes.
Some of those prophecies haven't been fulfilled yet.
Yes.
And we call it an Old Testament. How ignorant is that? It's still the living word of God.
Yes,
woo! And it's coming upon us too, right? That Zechariah 14 is coming upon us, right? It's not an Old Testament, okay? We share their prophets. We share their prophets. Isaiah told us about the good shepherd. He told us about the suffering servant. How would we know anything about Christianity if it wasn't for them? We share their chosen status, their same God, our Father, right? We share their aspiration that God will reign and rule with us in the end.
Amen.
From Jerusalem. We share all those things, right? It's
Amen.
Their patrimony, and they are sharing it with us, okay? Now, we owe them this debt of love for all they've given. They've showed us how to fight and pray, right? You think, well, who said that? What was the first preacher who said that? Right? That wasn't just in the civil rights movement. That was the Jews coming away from Pharaoh, fight and pray. They showed us that complaining in the desert doesn't work.
Woo!
Woo. Complaining in the desert doesn't work. But faith does work.
Faith works.
Right? They gave us Moses, Joseph, David, Daniel, the prophets and their prophecies that are coming true. Hebrews 11, all of them. Are Jews. All the heroes of the faith are Jewish. Right? All right. It's their Hall of Fame. It's our Hall of Fame too. They're all Jews. Every book of the New Testament and the Hebrew Scriptures was what? Was written, every book but Luke was written by a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody but Luke and Acts. Luke wrote Acts. Every single one of them was written by a Jew. Okay? Another reason why we share in their patrimony, another reason we should love the Jews is that God still loves them. That's why I read Revelation 11 there. God still loves them. He's going to send witnesses back to witness to them. Not witness condemnation, but witness sanctification, witness salvation. Right? Woo! Okay. He still loves them. Now, they've had their temples destroyed in 586, and Herod started to build it again, and it was ruined in 71, after Christ, 71 A.D., and there was another uprising in 134, and the Jews, as Israel, disappeared from the world. There was no Israel after 134 B.C. There was no temple after 71. There was nothing, right? And so 1,900 years went by. And what happened? Jesus did curse the fig tree. But if I curse you, I can uncurse you. So that's what God did. He cursed the fig tree, 21:9. That's what Jesus did for rejecting him. But there was this time that it came back. They, in 1948, they became a nation. They became a nation again. In one day, they became a nation. Amazing, right? He brought them back to the land. And the Lord was trying to bring them back for like 60 years. They came back after World War II after 6 million of them were killed. Yep. But he was trying to get them back for 50 years earlier. Since the 1880s, 1890s, he was calling them back. That's Zionism. You go back to your homeland, you go back to Israel. Who would go back to Israel except for God? It's full of strife and difficulties. But yet there was nobody there before World War II, and now there's 12 million Jews back in Israel. That's amazing. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. Listen to this, Jeremiah 16:14-15. Look, days are coming, the Lord declares, when people will not say, as Yahweh lives, who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. They won't say that, but they're going to say, as Yahweh lives, who brought Israel back from the land of the north and all the countries to which he had driven them. I shall bring them back to the very soil I gave their ancestors. Whew. So they became a nation in 1948 after these amazing military victories, right? I'm not a militarist, but it fulfilled Isaiah 66:8. Isaiah 66:8. Whoever heard of such a thing? Whoever saw anything like this? Can a country be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? For Zion, scarcely in labor, has brought forth her children. All right. And it's no coincidence that Zionism and the Pentecostal movement go together. I'm going to preach on that someday. But the 100 years of Pentecostalism and the 100 years of Zionism are a speeding up a revelation. And they're connected. And I'll preach about that sometime. But don't, you know, the more things happening over in Israel, the better, the more ready us Pentecostals, us Christians, should be. Okay. All right. God still loves them, right? God has been calling them back, and they're back there, right? It's only as big as New Jersey. It is. It isn't even that big. And God, we share in their patrimony. God loves them, and God isn't done with them, right? That's why we're interested in them, because God isn't done with them. Look at Revelation. These two witnesses, they're probably going to be Jewish Christians, just like these Messianic Jews on God's Learning Channel. Those two witnesses are going to witness because they have extra knowledge of Israel. They have extra knowledge of the history. So they're probably going to be Jewish Christians, right? I mean, that's that's common sense, right? Revelation 11:5, fire comes from their mouths, right? And consumes their enemy if anyone tries to harm them. And verse 12, after Eric read, they have the power to lock up the sky so that it does not rain as long as they are prophesying. These prophets are going to be killed by the beast of Babylon, right? This is actually going to happen. Whoever is the world power at that time, whether it's Russia or this conglomeration of nations, some rogue power is going to kill them, and then they're going to be laid out in the streets of Babylon, right? For 3 days, and all the world's going to see them. And then they're going to rise up again. Amen. Okay. See, Israel is going to get another shot at Christianity. For salvation is not from us pagans. Salvation is from the Jews. Right? Isn't that, you know, we are participating in this witness to Israel. Isn't that what the Pentecostal church is doing? We are witnessing salvation to them by loving them, by overcoming the prejudice, by learning more about the culture of the Hebrew culture, learning more about their language, learning more about their faith, right? God's not done. He's going to fight and vindicate Israel, okay? It's going to be ruled from Jerusalem forever. That's our faith, right? That's a matter of God's word, but it's also a matter of justice to Jesus Christ. Amen. He was crucified in Jerusalem. Amen. Therefore, he's going to reign and rule from Jerusalem forever. It's a matter of personal justice between him and his people. Woo, it is. It's something that he will personally do because, what's that scripture say that Zechariah says? They will look upon the one they have pierced. Yes, that's what it says. And it's repeated in Revelation because he's not trying to he's not trying to punish them. He's trying to show them once again. When that spirit is upon Israel, it will be for conviction, not for punishment. It'll be for conviction, so they come to salvation. Amen. That's why they look upon the one they have pierced. All right. Now another reason we should love the Jews, and this is a bit more just practical, because God made a covenant with Abraham. Genesis 12:3. He got these seven blessings, right? And it starts out like this, 12:3 of Genesis, I shall bless those who bless you. Yep. I shall bless those who bless you and shall curse those who curse you. And all the clans of the earth will bless themselves by you. That means through you. We were blessed by Israel. But the one I'm concentrating on this is, I shall bless those who bless you. Now, I confess, when I first came to this love of the Jews in a bigger way, I had to forget some things. I had to unlearn some things. Sometimes the Christian teaching we have, it's better to have just a little good teaching than all this mediocre teaching. And one of the most mediocre and the worst evil teaching is that the Christian church replaced Israel. Whenever you hear the word Israel in the scriptures, just replace the Christian church, and all the promises to Israel and to the Jews now come to you and me. Oh, isn't that convenient? So we don't have to read the Hebrew scriptures. So we don't have to know anything about prophecy, right? So we can just go on our ignorant, merry way. Whew, man, that is not right. That is presumption. And you know what? This replacement theology is all over the body of Christ, and it's in various degrees, and I had to get over it. I had to realize that the God who said, if I ever forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither, right? That's the God. That's the real God. He said, if I ever forget you, let my right hand wither. He told that to us, and now that God who told that to us is going to forget Jerusalem? Impossible. It is impossible. All right, it's time for us to grow up into the status that we have as co-heirs with the Jews. You're co-heirs, that means you're a brother. I want to know what my brother's up to. I want to know like he knows. I want to know more, right? Okay, the Christians never replace physical Israel, right? We never do that. That is an ignorance, right? Promises made to Israel before Christ are not broken just because some of the people in Israel didn't follow Christ, right? That thing from Abraham, I shall bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. That still stands. Promises to Israel are still promises to Israel. Promises to Christians, us, are promises to Christians. And shared promises are shared promises. Are we getting that?
Yes.
What replacement theology says is everything that's promised to Israel is now promised to us. Oh, that is presumption. That's not right. That's arrogance, right? Now, God has used foreign peoples to help Israel all throughout the history of Israel. In Isaiah 45, the talks about Cyrus, who was the Persian king at the time, and he beat the Babylonians who had exiled Israel. Babylon was evil. Persia came to the rescue, and they had this king named Cyrus. and he liberated the Jews from Babylonian captivity in 539 and came back, and he even paid to rebuild the temple in Israel. Now, that's beautiful. Now, some of the Jews couldn't believe that they were going to use a foreigner to help out God's people. And Isaiah 45:11 says, "Will you question me on the destiny of my children? Will you question me on the destiny of my children? Will you instruct me about the work of my hands?" See, that's the same way that God is saying to people who don't respect Israel, who say that they lost their blessings, they lost their promises. Are you going to tell God that he doesn't care about Israel now? Are you going to tell him that he doesn't know better than you? No way. We don't have the right to do that. Don't question him about the destiny of his children. Read Revelation 11, and he says he's going back there. He says there's going to be witnesses, okay? So we, foreigners, are Christians who aren't Jews, we've been adopted into Abraham's family by faith. Well, we should be willing to help Abraham, right? We should be willing to help Abraham. Now, I don't know what some of your, like I said, this is not personal about how certain Jews have treated you. You know, not all Americans treat you right either.
That's right.
Right? But I'll tell you, I was selling cars. Maybe I'll slow down a little bit. I was selling cars out here, here in town, and most of these guys were good guys. They weren't bad guys. But one of them was Jewish. And all the other guys said, "Oh, this guy, he don't like to share commissions or nothing like that." You know? He's the one Jew, Jewish salesman. He don't like to share commissions. He hates it. Well, the fact is all car salesmen hate to share commissions, all right? They all do. But this one guy, right, he was the best at it. He was the fairest at it than all the rest, right? So, you know, you may have had bad experience with individuals, Americans, Jews, whatever. But you know what? The Lord told me this guy was a man of God. He never told me that anyone else there, I hope he's telling me that I was, you know, I didn't lose my man of God status selling cars. Maybe that's why I didn't do it too long. But he told me that this guy was a man of God. See, that's a Jewish God talking. That's a, you know what I mean. You see, so you know, for every somebody who hasn't blessed you, there's somebody else, American, who blessed you, or right with the Jews or what have you. You know, this guy Sam Peake, I gave him that $500 stipend, man. And I've never been so blessed. The revelation, knowledge that can come upon you when you do something out of the ordinary, when you are willing to go further in your faith, it will be a milestone. I guarantee you that. I'm not just the only preacher who has come to this understanding, right? And there's other people, you know. Jewish people help each other out. You ever hear that? They stick together. Woo, they do. They stick together. Maybe there's something to be learned by that. And they don't just stick together to make money. They stick together because it's a matter of their culture. And that's a blessed thing that their culture goes back to Israel, goes back to the people who were persecuted or the people who were with God or the people who knew God the best. Well, if we know God better as Christians, then we should be sticking together and learning stuff from them as well. Man, they're over there unified, and the body of Christ is... what is it? It's not very unified. All right. Now, another reason to love Israel, and I'm not going to go on all too long because I know it's holiday season, but this Israel is going to be our final home. It's going to be our final home, and the Word of God tells us that Israel from above, the Israel from above, Jerusalem from above, that's our birthplace. Some of you were born in Africa. Some of you were born in the United States or wherever. But Galatians 4:26, that we faithful non-Jews were born out of the Jerusalem from above. The Jerusalem that is free and that is full of the Holy Ghost. And she's our mother. Okay? Catholics always talk about mothers and this and that. Jerusalem's our mother. Woo! Amen. Okay. Psalm 87:5-6. Psalm 87:5-6 prophesies something real similar. It says the place of our physical birth is less important than the fact that Zion is our birthplace in the Holy Ghost. And Zion is our permanent home. Listen to this. Psalm 87:5-6. But of Zion, that's Israel, the Mount Zion. But of Zion it will be said. Does anyone have it? But of Zion it will be said, everyone was born there. Her guarantee is the Most High. Yahweh in his registers of his peoples, that's everybody, Yahweh in his registers of his peoples will note against each born there. Princes no less than native born, foreigners no less than Jews, all make their home in you. Ooh, isn't that cool? You're gonna be a Jew. All will make their home in you. We should love the Jews because we got a new home in Jerusalem, right? And God's word tells us we were born there from above and we're going there. All right, we're going to end up there. All right. All right. Now, the Jews haven't come in big numbers to Christ yet, but we expect they will in the last days. We expect that, okay? Zechariah 12:9. Let me read that to you. 12:9 was the one about looking upon they have pierced. When that day comes, I shall set about destroying all the nations who advanced against Jerusalem. But over the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I shall pour out a spirit of grace and prayer. And they will look to me. They will mourn for the one whom they have pierced, as though for an only child, and weep for him as people weep for a firstborn child. Israel's going to come to Christ. Woo, isn't that great? Amen. No one's excited. All right. Okay. Now, listen to this. Can we learn something from him? Yes. Zechariah 8:22. I, God, am going myself. Yes, many peoples and great nations will seek out Yahweh, God Almighty, in Jerusalem and treat Yahweh's favor. Yahweh the Almighty says this, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every language will take a Jew by the sleeve and say, we want to go with you since we have learned that God is with you. Woo! You see, there it is. We can learn from the Jews. We can, especially in these last times. It's going to happen over there mostly. Okay? All right. God hasn't given up on Israel. He has not let go any of the promises and prophecies that he made in all the Hebrew scriptures, okay? They're going to come home, and we can be a part of that. You know, sometimes we kick up against people we don't understand. And you know what? How many times when you're kicking up against somebody that you don't understand yet, they turn out to be the ones you love the most? Amen. You know? You think I didn't know all y'all before I came into this culture, and now who's hanging with me? When you got a Jewish friend, you got a Jewish friend, right? You got a guy who knows God. You got a guy who has extra revelation, right? You're gonna get it. You're gonna share in that, and you're gonna be blessed by it too. All right, that's my message. Love the Jews. Because we owe them the debt of love for sharing their patrimony. We owe them their Bible, their prophets, their wisdom. It's now ours. We share it with them, right? Because God still loves them. It isn't finished with them, right? Amen. Because Jerusalem is your faith home and your faith mother. And it's going to be your home forever. Because they're going to be on the right team in the end. Ah, that's going to be great. Christ said there's no, I mean, Paul said, there's no Jew or Greek, no woman or man. No slave or free. That's beautiful. That's profound. That's true. But Paul knew all about the Gentiles, all about the pagans before he could say that. How come we can't say, I know all about the Jews? Because now I can say, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free. Because I know as much as Paul knew about the pagans, I know as much about the Jews. And then, we might get close like Paul was to God. We might be really able to say that. I know everything about Jew. I know everything about Greek, slave, woman, man. All right? I know more. And therefore, I can say that. Whew, man. Okay, I want all the revelations that God stored up for his people, his Jews. And they're coming. They're going to turn to Jesus. I'll share my salvation with them. I'll share my salvation with them. If they share their wisdom with me. And to that, God's people say, Amen.